Hey, what's going on, buddy? This clip is taken from episode 4 with Michael Hanthorn. He describes his time in the Battle of Fallujah during the push as he was assigned to mortuary affairs, and him and his teams were cleaning up dead insurgent bodies. Really crazy story. Hope you guys enjoy it. If you're enjoying the show, make sure to like it, subscribe, you know, all that stuff. Please leave a review. That's what really helps out. And go over to patreon.com, look up Former Action Guys to support the show. Really appreciate it.
So my staff sergeant came up and said, we need volunteers to go to Fallujah. They need truck drivers to work with 3-1. And I was like, well, fuck yeah, dude. Like, this is what I'm signed up to do.
Yeah.
Like, I originally wanted to be a grunt. And I'm like, this fucking convoy, I mean, it sucked, dude. I mean, you've been in military equipment, it fucking sucks.
And you're a running target the whole time.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm like, fuck yeah. So me and my buddy Strip, we volunteered to go. And then it came down like 2 weeks later, we got slated to go. They were going to heal us from TQ to Fallujah and then embed us with 3-1. They're like, hey, the whole unit's going, but we're doing mortuary affairs. And I'm like, what the fuck's mortuary affairs? They're like, yeah, like we're going to go into the city and pick up dead bodies. And I was like, man, I don't want to do that for, because I, you know, mortuary affairs, you think you're going to do it for Marines.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't want to see, you know, my brothers, sisters, whoever, dead, anybody. And they're like, nah, you're going to do it for the insurgents. And I'm like, I mean, you're like, okay, whatever. So my whole unit goes. So we went there in October. The end of October is around Halloween, I guess. And we took the potato factory over. And it was an old potato factory. It had big reefers and stuff to house all these dead bodies
that you're expecting to get.
Yes. So of course, you know, it sounds all glamorous, and
I don't know if that sounds glamorous.
I mean because I was like, I'm gonna be running with 3-1, you know, all these infantry dudes. And yeah, it wasn't that great, because I mean, we were, so the cloverleaf I'm talking about, the potato factory sat to the south, I mean less than a mile away from the cloverleaf. So, I mean, we got IDF like a motherfucker, dude.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, we stationed gun trucks, you know, we did all our posts. I mean,
Once you got to the potato factory and you guys had taken it over, how did you guys prep it for the upcoming, like, battle? Like, how did you set up your security and, like, what kind of supply? I imagine if you knew, obviously, you're going to be doing mortuary affairs, cleaning up dead bodies, I imagine you started seeing shipments of, like, body bags.
Oh, and
stuff,
yeah,
like that.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
What kind of preparation did you notice for the upcoming fight?
So we got a chief warrant officer. She was a female. I can't remember her name. The actual mortuary affairs book is actually in the Marine Corps Museum now, in the Iraq section, where she actually documented all the insurgents we brought in. There's actually like a little tidbit in the Marine Corps Museum about what we did.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, we definitely had a lot of shipments of body bags. You know, we had to get briefed on, you know, the hazards. I mean, you're going out to, number one, you're in combat. I mean, because a lot of people think mortuary affairs, well, you were two streets over. No, dude, like, we were in the house next to the house they were fighting in. I mean, it was, I mean, I guess it's combat, but it's really, I mean, we didn't get to shoot guns that much, but it was pretty, you know, the hazards of the dead bodies, I guess, back to what
it
I was
wasn't
about.
A calm environment.
No,
the
I mean,
the whole thing was hectic.
Yeah, so the grunts were going through, and basically they would kill insurgents in a house, and then on the doors they would write 2 DBs, and then we'd go in. But if you know anything about Fallujah, basically the 3-1 and all the, I can't remember all the units, we basically primarily work with 3-1. And they would be like, hey, these houses, they're pretty clear. But at night, when they would stop and they'd set up in a house, the insurgents were moving around the city. So
yeah,
I mean,
they were using rat holes and stuff to sneak through the houses and everything.
Yeah, so I mean, every house had to be cleared again upon entry. So
yeah, for those that aren't aware, like, the houses, what they would do is they would take like sledgehammers and stuff and punch holes in the and the walls. That way they can move in between houses without going through the entryways, but they would go through alleyways and stuff. So you would think that you're coming into a house that you just took fire from and people would be in there. But in reality, they shot at you, pulled back, the Marines started coming in, and then they would move on to the next house to try to keep the fight going because they knew they were fighting for the end of their life. I mean, so go ahead. Sorry.
So they dropped those leaflets. I'd say, I think they started the invasion November 7th, I believe.
Yeah, I think that is right.
Of 2004. So they dropped the leaflets, I think, 2 weeks before. So after what Justin said, you know, they surrounded the city. All that shit's going on. So the whole time they're building, they're fucking preparing. I mean, there's bunkers and fucking foxholes everywhere. And they dropped then they had the mass exodus. They dropped the leaflets, then they had a mass exodus of the city. And then November, I think, I believe it was November 7th, they went in.
Did you take any part of the people of like, of the logistics part of pulling people out of the city that were wanting to leave?
No.
Okay.
No, because we were in training. We had to come up with, so another thing they did was, so there was, in our teams, we went out basically in a platoon size strength. And so I was in 4th platoon, but we went out, I think we split it up. I'm trying to remember all this shit, but it was almost squad-sized elements. We had a body truck, and then we had a gun truck that we all rode in.
Both of them Humvees, or
no, 7-tons.
Okay.
And so I had in the element of that, you definitely had a guy with a 50 cal, and then on the body truck, you had a guy with a 240, and then you had the drivers of those two trucks, and then in the back, you had a guy with a grappling hook, which so. We figured out, well, I think someone else figured it out before us. They were booby trapping the bodies. So we actually had to put a grappling hook onto the dead body with engineer tape. And you would pull the body and then you'd take cover, you know, behind a wall or whatever in case there was a grenade or whatever.
Did you ever run into a booby trap body?
No. I don't think anybody in my unit ever did.
Okay.
Because by this time,
they're getting towards the end of their fight.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's pretty bad.
Yeah.
So, and we went in November. We actually went in on the Marine Corps birthday of 04. It was the first time we entered the city. Which, you go to a city and, you know, Iraqi cities, or even in Afghanistan, the cities are fucking, we're weird anyways. But you go through there and you would see piles of 40 Mike Mikes and fucking just aiming, you know, spent casings everywhere, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've never seen anything like it. Of course, I'm 20 years old from Indiana. I mean, this is all new.
It's an alien world for you.
So we were the first platoon to go out into the city. My platoon was. And I remember the first time we ever seen a dead body. Of course, we had grunts with us, 3-1. They provided our security. And we went, and they literally were fighting. Like four houses in front of us, and there's a pair of legs. I'll never forget this. A pair of legs and blue sweatpants and fucking running shoes. And that's the first, and I mean, like Saving Private Ryan, we're on the beach.
Yeah.
That's exactly how it was, dude. Like, I just got out of the truck, and I'm like, holy fuck. I kind of froze for a second. My staff sergeant was like, we got to go, motherfucker. We got to go. We just fucking went to town, but that was...
So, like, what did you have to do when you, like... So, you saw the pair of legs. What happened after that?
So, then, the grappling hook guys was Ruiz and Yamas.
Was that, like, a team? Like,
yeah.
Hey, grapple hooks up!
Yeah, grab... And that's what we say. I was
oh,
on
really?
The... Yeah, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, and then I was the body bag, dude.
Yeah.
And then we had... I mean, to all the lay people, we actually had dudes that ran shovels. I mean, literally, you would shovel
and whatever was left.
Whatever was left. And so we got those. And of course, we get back, and, you know, everybody, you just stink to high heaven. Because, I mean, what would you say the average temperature in November in Iraq is?
I don't know.
It's still warm.
Yeah, yeah, it's still warm. And for sure.
You know, if they've been in there 3 or 4 days, they've been sitting for 3 or 4 days. That was the first one. And then you get to, I was there till February of 2005. So, I mean, I didn't do mortuary affairs that whole time. I actually did the ECPs thing that I told you about, the BAT system.
Yeah, we'll get to that.
But, you know, I think the oldest, I mean, we actually picked up skeletons. That's really? How long they've been sitting there.
From probably partially from dogs coming out there.
Oh, yeah, the fucking dogs, dude. I mean, that like when we brought the bodies there to the potato factory, we actually had to shoot dogs because there were so many. I mean, the smell, I mean, just alone is just enough to gag a maggot.
Did you guys use any kind of breathing devices to...
So, we used Vicks Vapor Rub. I won't use it to this day because we would wear, what are those, the little paper masks?
The dust mask?
They're like a dust mask. Like
the 3M dust mask, yeah.
Yeah, and then put Vicks Vapor Rub up in your nose. So, because, I mean, you think about a dead deer on the side of the road when you pass it. I mean, it stinks.
Yeah.
And imagine sitting in Iraq. It fucking is nasty.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, we did that. We used that. And then that was...
So, how long were you on the mortuary affairs detail then?
Till Christmas.
So, about a month and a half you were... That's basically all you did was every day?
Yeah, and then we got to go back to Camp Fallujah. We do it for 3 days. And then... We got to go to Camp Fallujah every day because you have to shower.
Yeah.
You have to shower because of the, there's some kind of lice or some shit that goes on dead bodies.
I think you have to worry about, all the different microbes and stuff that's...
A lot of micro stuff. And then, so we got to go back, which was awesome because Camp Fallujah's chow hall was fucking awesome. And I mean, when you were doing like the guard trucks and stuff, you're on MREs.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean,
so it was kind of good, the one good thing. The is one that good thing is
you got
and
to
eat.
Shower and eat. So.
Man, that's crazy, man. So, when you guys got done, well, first off, did they tell you why you were doing that? Like, what was the purpose of it?
So the purpose was to let the people back into the city, eventually.
Yeah,
and being that. They don't have modern conveniences like us. You know, they get their water from the Euphrates. They get a lot of people don't know, like, when they crap in their house, it's just a hole in the ground.
Yeah.
And it goes out into the city streets. I mean, a lot of people don't know that.
It's like old Rome.
Yes.
It's like old Roman times.
Yeah.
Mixed with, like, cell phones.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Yeah, it's very, very strange. Electricity is very weird. They're just like... Of course, that was back when the piano wire thing was going on, too, which I don't know. Did you ever?
No, go ahead and explain.
So the piano wire was, they would stick piano wire at turret level. So the guys in the ring mounts, they would get hit with the piano wire. And if you're going fast enough, it actually could decapitate a guy.
Yeah.
So that's when we started putting the engineer stakes up on, welding them onto the ring mounts.
So, because people probably don't understand, like, when you were on your ring mounts, you guys didn't have the gun mounts with the armor all around it, right?
We had, it had 75% coverage.
Okay, so you had the front plates and you had the side plates and stuff like that? Okay.
Yeah.
I thought for some reason you guys weren't using those at that point.
Yeah, we still had those.
Okay.
But then we also had gun trucks in the back of Humvees that had L armor, which had nothing.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
in your month and a half of doing that, like, how many bodies do you think you guys cleaned up?
I think 600.
Really?
I think 600 was
that
the
was
number.
The entire unit or your platoon?
The entire unit.
600. And all those were insurgents, or did you ever, were you ever tasked to?
No, we never did any, which they call them angels.
Yeah.
We never did that.
Yeah. That makes sense. The unit's right there probably when they lost their dude, so.
Yeah.
Okay. Man, yeah, I think that's obviously a job I don't think anybody would want to do.
No.
And did you guys have problems with any of your guys because of...
Oh, yeah.
Not necessarily, like, I know there's obviously going to be, like, PTSD issues and stuff like that, but were there any guys that were just doing stupid stuff to get out of it? Like, I don't want to do this anymore, so I'm going to do something.
No, I mean, but, like, it was all after the fact. I mean, we all lost it at some point because, I mean, you can't do that job every day, you know, say once, you know, for 3 days, for once a week. I mean, you can't do that shit. I mean, it psychologically fucks you up because, I mean, that's all you're around. Like, you go back to the birthing area, the morgue's right there. I mean, you walk outside, you smell dead bodies.
Yeah.
And then in that, I don't think the Marine Corps was prepared for the turmoil, the traumatic stuff. Because I may be me and my buddy Pat, another dude. I think that unit is, say, most of the dudes are 100% disabled with PTSD.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you came back, we lost a dude, like, instantly to it. Like, he went crazy, killed a bunch of his fucking animals and...
Oh, really?
Yeah.
After the deployment?
After the deployment.
Oh, man.
So, I mean, I don't think the Marine Corps was, you know, of course, you know, you do that quiz. I mean, I think everybody goes through that quiz. You've been exposed to loud explosions and all that shit. Yeah. Dead bodies. I mean, we're all like, no, no, no. Because, you know, we all wanted to go back.
I say it's crazy to hear, like, when people say that. Like, I did when I did that first interview with my buddy that was a corpsman, and he had gotten blown up his third week into his first deployment, you know, enough to where he got medevaced out and didn't come back. He had actual injuries. And he was just like, yeah, I was just trying to get back out there.
Yeah.
And it's... I think it's hard for people to understand, like, one, you say that you're in probably the worst environment that you can imagine, you know what I'm saying? But then you'd say you'd go back. Not necessarily to that.
No, but
what if they told you were going to have to go back and do that? Would you still want to go back?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Well, because, I mean, it's the camaraderie. It was a shitty, shitty situation. But, I mean, you're there, you're spending time with your buddies.
Yeah.
I mean... Like, well, I'll just never forget this time. We're sleeping, and they sent a rocket into our thing. And my buddy Lear was in the smoke pit. And, like, the smoke pit was right next to our berthing area. Of course, mm-hmm. we're in like, a building, like a concrete building. This rocket hits, fucking, he runs in. Like, he's lucky as fuck to be here. But, like, the first thing, like, he woke
up. Oh, it hit, like, on the smoke pit?
Yeah, it blew the smoke pit completely.
Oh, no way. Wow. He's lucky.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, the first thing that you think about, like, because he woke me up. He's like, hey, Hanson, let's go out and have a cigarette. And I'm like...
After the explosion?
No. This is before. Like, he woke me up. Okay, he's like, hey, okay. I'm going out to the smoke pit. You want to come? And I'm like, yeah, I'll be out there in a second. So, I'm, like, in my fucking sleeping bag. Then all of a sudden, you hear it, and then the fucking windows blow out of your berthing area. And your first instinct is you're like, that. I know fucking Lear's out there.
Oh, yeah.
So, you run out there, and, of course, he's back, and it's just...
But I mean, your heart probably stopped for a second.
Oh, yeah, really, because that's your fucking homeboy.
Yeah. If you enjoyed this Former Action Guys podcast clip, make sure to subscribe on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and support the show on Patreon.com by looking up Former Action Guys.